Welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast, where we're talking about running, lifting, and momming, not necessarily in that order. And sometimes, y'all, it's sort of a stretch because today we're talking about grandmomming. That's right, I have got Masters athlete expert Rob Arnold, who is also a certified strength and conditioning specialist with a master's level education and an alphabet soup of personal training certifications to go along with it. He is the gold standard as far as information for population over 30 years old. Rob has done everything from corporate wellness to owning his own gym where he trained clients specializing in that master's category. I know that I've got a lot of listeners that are knocking on being a master's athlete, or maybe they already are. They're that fit grandma. So without further ado, here is my friend, Rob Arnold. What's up, former work spouse?
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing well. So, Rob, as we were coming on to record in the Anchor app, you know, it allows you to send the recording room to someone. And I have to tell you that, you know, your name, of course, is Rob Arnold. And as folks know, you definitely are a great, like, encyclopedia of knowledge in all things Masters athlete. But like, I kept going in my phone and looking for R-O, R-O, R-O-B. You are still in my phone, I think, for like 10 years now as work spouse.
Yeah, I think we first started working together in like 2007, 2008. So, I mean, it's been over a decade.
Yes. And for those that don't know what a work spouse is, no infidelity going on here. It's totally platonic. What a work spouse is, it's someone else at work. And hey, it could be same sex if you, if you're inclined. It's somebody at work that kind of goes to bat for you and looks out for you. You might eat lunch together or get their pens or paper clips or take notes for them in a meet. Like you're kind of like their partner at work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd be afraid of any infidelities with you anyway, because Trey might kick my butt.
He is going to laugh when he hears this. But I will say, speaking of, my husband, of course, is a white bald man over 40. You are my second favorite white bald man.
Yes. Yes.
Over the age of 40.
we could pass for doppelgangers for sure.
You actually could. So I wanted to pick your brain a little bit, Rob, about, you know, my show is called Run Lift Mom. And as the name would suggest, I like to talk to folks about running, lifting, and parenthood. But I've got a lot of folks that listen to my show that are in their late 30s, early 40s, and even some fit grandmas. So I wanted to ask you some questions. Because you are the master's athlete expert, I wanted to ask you some questions about those females in the master category.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that what defines a master's athlete is, in a nutshell, anybody over the age of 30, 35, 40, that's, you know, theoretically beyond their prime. But they still want to run marathons. They still want to do CrossFit competitions. They still want to do USATF track events. They still want to participate in volleyball leagues. Anything, they don't have to just, as they get older, decide, you know what, I'm just going to do, you know, the local 5K charity event this year and that'll be good. It's getting out there and playing sports and staying active as long as possible. And I spoke on my podcast about, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a 100-year-old man that ran the 100-meter dash at the Drake Relays. That's what a master's athlete is. And it's basically saying, I'm never too old to pick up a new sport and pick up a new activity.
You're absolutely right. You know, prior to becoming a stay-at-home mom and becoming the host of a podcast and selling all things Zaya, I worked for, folks will recognize the brand, Silver Sneakers. And it is a Medicare fitness program that basically allows access for older adults. And what's funny is, you know, in even like 2000, okay, so like less than 20 years ago, when you're talking Silver Sneakers population, you're talking chair fitness, right? Like, yeah. Old people in the exercise room doing chair fitness. And then when I was there, so this is 2015, 2016, your Silver Sneakers member average, they're at the starting line of a 5K or they're running in the Drake relays. I mean, it's definitely a senior, air quote senior, or than before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love it. I love seeing, you know, the active aging adult that refuses to just say, you know, well, I'm just going to participate in water aerobics and that's good enough.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, especially when we're looking at the female population, what special considerations does like an older female, a master's female, have in fitness?
Well, that I could point to two things, especially for females. One of them, and I know this sometimes can sound a little off-putting, but you know, when I would do programming for females, especially over the age of 40 or 50, my programming, I had to always ask, how's your bladder control? And so I always had to program around that, because jumping exercises may not be for everybody.
Right.
And we gotta pay attention to that. I know it sounds, you know, a little, you know, kind of childish at times, but I'm sure the CrossFit world would hate it if I said quit doing double unders and quit doing box jumps, but it's just one of those things that you have to take into account and substitute. The other thing is injury prevention, and I cannot emphasize injury prevention enough. And that consists of increased mobility and stability training, getting out there and getting a functional movement assessment done, having either an exercise physiologist or a physical therapist give you an assessment to see how well you move, because I'd hate to have just some weekend warrior personal trainer put you in a squat rack and say, okay, let's do some squats today, when you've got some severe hip mobility issues from, you know, years of carrying around kids or sitting at a desk job.
Talk to me a little bit. So just to clarify for my audience. So when you say mobility, do you mean like range of motion?
Absolutely. Mobility is not flexibility. Mobility is the ability of a joint to do what it's supposed to do, and to move in a movement pattern that what it's designed to do. And your body is kind of segmented into mobile and stable joints, whether it's your thoracic spine, your upper back being, you know, mobile, your shoulder girdle being stable, your shoulder joint being mobile, your hips being mobile. It's segmented into those parts, and ensuring that those parts of the body are either mobile or stable, basically what they're designed to be doing.
Perfect. And then when you say stability, can you just clarify for me what you mean there?
And again, sure. That's a lot of people confuse stability with strength, and it's not strength. Stability is anti-motion. So strength, if you think about it, is having the ability to move an object or to hold an object, but stability is resisting the movement of an object.
Perfect. Perfect. And then you mentioned the screen. So I know that, for example, you're certified to do that functional movement assessment. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that is? And if somebody is listening right now and they're like, FMS, what is this guy talking about? I can tell he's former military because he's using acronyms. Can you walk them through what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. The FMS was designed by a gentleman, a physical therapist by the name of Gray Cook. And probably 2004, 2005, and it's taken off to physical therapy programs, corporate wellness, all kinds of sports teams. And it's basically a way to subjectively look at how well can you move, how well can you stabilize yourself, and it takes all guesswork out of it, and it puts it on a number scale. It is not a fitness assessment. It is a movement assessment that is designed to see, okay, you might have an asymmetry in your hips or your knees, you are prone to being injured if you do these type of movements in a repetitive way. It's not a 100% predictor of injury, but it's saying, hey, if you continue to do these type of movements, you might get injured. And so for a a golfer or a tennis player that has some hip or low back issues, they may want to do some bridges or some plank variations to increase their hip mobility, their hip stability, low back stability. They may want to do those exercises to prevent some injuries down the road.
Perfect. Perfect. And so where would like an average Jane, I'm going to stick with the female population. Where would an average Jane acquire someone who has expertise in this FMS screen?
Most physical therapists have gone to some kind of training on that. There are some exercise physiologists and personal trainers that have done it, but most, personal trainers have done it, because it's usually designed as an injury prevention tool. Mm-hmm. And a movement analysis that helps more of a physical therapist. I did it strictly because I used it in a corporate wellness setting where factory workers were doing repetitive motions over and over and over again, and we wanted to get to the root cause of what was causing them injuries. And so we decided to use this as a tool there. But most physical therapists will be able to provide this.
You know, I love that you're recommending this as kind of a baseline before we get to talking about some of those other things like stress management, nutrition, and that kind of thing, because most of us, when we're thinking about fitness, we're not necessarily thinking about all the things that we're doing the other 23 hours of the day, those daily activities. Like when I told my mom I was speaking with you and that you were an expert in, master's fitness, she was saying, yeah, I mean, for me at knocking on 60, I'm worried about getting down on the floor with my grandkids.
Yeah, that's a common problem. And I mean, but that's where, again, having your movement assessed, being able to know if your hips will allow you to get all the way down on the floor, being able to stabilize on your arm. I mean, look at a movement called the Turkish get-up. That is a fantastic movement to start early and to progress and to do on a regular basis, to where if your goal is to get on the floor, a Turkish get-up is literally the best exercise you could possibly do to never fail of getting up and down off the floor.
So here's something for you, Rob. So a Turkish get-up, for those that aren't familiar, this is a very well-established, it's a kettlebell in the kettlebell practice or a movement. You can use, of course, any type of weight, but you'll see it often with a kettlebell. How about that grandma? Maybe she's in her late 50s or early 60s, right? We know this is a great movement for her, but it involves that kettlebell that is scary, right? This is some people with a barbell. I don't want to do a movement with that scary piece
of
equipment.
Right.
What are you saying to that woman?
Don't do it with a weight. Do it with your body. I've when I train people on how to do it, and I'm not the biggest CrossFit fan in the world, but CrossFit does a really good job of training people with just no weight, whether it's squats or you know, they get shoulder presses with people with just a dowel. And what that's the one factor that I learned from my very short experience with the CrossFit world is starting folks with no weight at all and having them perform a movement. And with a grandma that's 50, 60 years old, teach them how to get down to the floor using the Turkish get-up movement and get back up off the floor using that movement with zero weight at all. Because their own body weight is the biggest thing that they're going to be moving that day anyway. So teach them how to move it.
Right. I love that. And that really, I mean, as now I'm 37 years old at the time of this recording, but I know as a runner, right, I love doing Turkish get-ups because I know in terms of core stability, man, slam dunk.
Absolutely.
But now that I'm thinking about my mom, who is a grandma, she also needs that slam dunk on core stability.
Yeah. And it works everything. I mean, it works shoulder girdle stability. It works shoulder mobility. It works core stability, hip mobility. It works everything that you need to do in that one little movement. And, you know, again, a physical therapist, a strength coach can all teach that movement. And there's so much going on with that one little movement that if they just do it on a regular basis. And it doesn't have to be picture perfect. It doesn't have to be a 3 on the FMS scale. But if they're able to do that movement, it'll help them for the rest of their life.
I love it. Can you talk to me a little bit, Rob, about warming up and what we should do to prepare our bodies for exercise after we're past our prime, as well as how we should be feeling afterward. And again, I'm talking about the fit grandmas out there.
Well, I think the warm-up is huge. It's funny because I, as a former athlete, as a kid, you know, and I'm sure you're the same way, where you just, all right, let's get to the workout, and you just start going. And I've learned that as I've gotten older, and here I am 43 now, as I've gotten older, my typical workout consists of about 20 to 25 minutes of warm-up, where I'm just doing movement preparation. I'm taking my, doing dynamic stretches with my hips and ankles and shoulders, and going through getting my body prepped to get through the exercise and get through the workout, raising the temperature of my blood and the temperature of my muscles, and getting the blood flow going and all that fun stuff. And it's just extremely important to get the body moving before you start moving, if you know what I'm saying. And then.
So it's okay to spend, you're spending almost a half hour on your warm-up, and you're saying, yeah, that's good. That's standard practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because here's the thing is, we don't need to, the old adage or the old thought of, man, I'm spending an hour in the gym and I am crushing weights. That is absolutely 1000% unnecessary. And so if you get your body moving through maybe even some yoga poses or some dynamic stretching for about 15, 20 minutes, maybe even a half hour, do some strength training or some cardio conditioning for 15 to 20 minutes, or maybe even a half hour, and then cool down with maybe some meditation work for about 5 to 10 minutes, that you're good. You've done some intense work for about 15 to 20 minutes. You've done some movement preparation for 15 to 20 minutes. You've done some mind meditation work for 5 to 10 minutes, and you're good. Get out of the gym.
I love it. So make sure that you're doing that thorough warm up and be okay with leaving some gas in the tank
Absolutely.
At the end of your workout.
When I program for folks, I tell them you should never, and this is, again, I hate to use the C word, but you don't want to be like what you see in all the pictures on Instagram of people with their sweat angels on the floor and you know, be passed out from a workout. You want to have some gas left in the tank when you're ready to leave the gym.
I did not know what C word you were talking about. He means CrossFit, y'all.
Yes.
But I thought, oh, wait, hold on. I'm in a parenting category, Rob. Okay, very good. So, you have owned a gym facility yourself. You've worked in corporate wellness. So with folks that are very established in their career and mature in age, what's the biggest mistake that you see female masters athletes making?
Thinking that they can still do the same workouts that they did when they were a teenager. That's easily that they think, well, I used to be able to go out just like we just said. I used to be able to not warm up at all and get out there and run a 5K without even thinking about it. Well, you know what? You've had 4 kids since then, and you have a desk job now, and you're behind on your mortgage. So you're probably not going to be able to do those things that you did at 18. And then conversely, you know, the thought of, well, I'm 36 years old now, and I probably shouldn't be doing deadlifts. You know what? That's the exact opposite of what's happening. And it's either thinking that they're 18 and they can go do all the exercises they did then, or thinking because they're older, they shouldn't be doing certain exercises.
All right. So we want to be challenging ourselves, yet using a different measurement scale than we did maybe 2 decades ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. Perfect. Can you tell me, Rob, what's a habit? You know, I've got some people listening that are fit grandmas. So they're hearing what you're saying about hip mobility and core stability and knowing your means. How about that woman that's like, girl, I'm in my late 20s or early 30s. You know, I listen to Susie on her podcast because it's about momming. What if she's thinking about the next decade or two from now? What's something she can do now in her 30s to prepare her for when she's a master's athlete?
Nutrition. I just had a conversation with a couple of high school kids the other day, and they ate like garbage. And I said, and this, here I am fresh out of the Paleo FX conference, I said, you know what, guys? I said, what you're doing right now to your stomachs, to your gut microbiome, to your body, the foods that you're putting into your system right now is may not necessarily affect you today or tomorrow or in the next year or two. But what that's doing right now is going to affect you 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road. And so it's just like an investment. When you save your money and throw it into a mutual fund or throw it into an IRA account, you're investing. And you would rather invest it into something that's quality, right? And so if I'm going to be putting something into my body, I'm investing into my body. And the way that I eat right now, the way that the foods that I'm putting into my stomach right now are going to affect my gut microbiome 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And I want to have a nice, smooth running gut when I get 50, 60, 70 years old versus, you know, just worrying about how good those Doritos taste today.
You know, it's funny. It's my intention every year to run the Boston Marathon. And so I hang in those crowds. Okay. Age groupers.
Yeah.
We're not training for the Olympic trials, but we're probably on the podium at our local races, that kind of crowd. We will crunch our training numbers and our programming to no end to try to squeak out 10 or 20 seconds. But very rarely do you hear someone consider nutrition when you're talking about training or performance gains. Isn't that odd?
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's funny because I was just listening to a podcast today. And the guy was I forget what book he wrote, but he was talking about how 50% of non-contact injuries come from nutrition deficiencies, whether it's calcium or magnesium or foods that affect our cortisol and adrenaline. And it's just it makes you think just how prominent nutrition is when it comes to our training program. And it's not just what you put in at the track or in the gym, it's what you put in at the table too.
Right, right. So there's a performance component there. Love it. Love it. What about a master's athlete or a fit grandma that's listening to this right now and thinking, ooh, I want to dig in some more? I mean, obviously the Master's Athlete podcast, you guys, you're gonna have to subscribe to it. But then how else do you recommend that they do some self-education?
There's no shortage of podcasts out there. And I mean, if you just get on the Apple podcasts or iTunes or Spotify and just type in some names of, you know, Vern Gambetta or Tony Gentilcore or Charlie Weingroff or Eric Cressy or Rob Wolf, and just dial into those type of people and see what they're saying in some of their podcasts. I mean, those are who I look up to on the Mount Rushmore of the fitness industry, or, you know, maybe folks like Mike Boyle even. And I look up to those people as far as anything that they've said, anything that they've written, what do they have to say? And if they say it, it's like, hey, let's figure it out. Let's combine what all these folks are saying and put it into my own program.
Right. You know, Rob Wolf, he gets a bad rap sometimes. He didn't coin paleo. There were books written about it prior to when he did the paleo solution, but he made it really popular in CrossFit circles. Now, here's the unfortunate thing. He made it really popular in CrossFit circles. And Rob Wolf has since kind of broken up with CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of an ugly breakup. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, here's what I love about him. He's always been about health and longevity. He's done a lot in employer wellness out there on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes people dismiss Rob Wolf's works as, oh, that's for CrossFitters, when actually, guys, he is the one that has always been about health and longevity. And he's got the biology degree and the academic evidence to prove it. And so that's definitely one not to be missed or, you know, make assumptions about.
Yeah. Yeah. Him or Chris Kresser, Chris Masterjohn. I mean, some of them can get deep into the weeds, but I mean, they're so knowledgeable. Dom D'Agostino. I mean, they're just so knowledgeable on nutrition and exercise. And Rob's amazing because he's constantly evolving. And that's nothing is dogma with Rob Wolf, and it's constantly evolving. And you know, he said it himself where, you know, some of the stuff that he wrote in his first book, The Paleo Solution, it doesn't really hold true now because more science has come out. And so he's one that is constantly saying, hey, because of science, because the forward movement of science, you know, we have the ability to change our views on things.
Yeah. Yeah. Great, great, great point. Awesome. You got it. Hey, if you've got a couple minutes left, do you want to end it on a rapid fire?
Yeah, give it to me.
All right, Rob, tell me your favorite 1 hour workout. You've got 1 hour to sweat. Go.
All right. So probably 10 years ago, I did this in the CrossFit world where I went to a Fort Knox Army base, and I did as a team, we did 400 pull-ups and then ran 400 meters. Then we did 400 thrusters, ran 400 meters, 400 kettlebell swings, ran 400 meters, and 400, I forget the fourth one, but, and then ran 400 meters. And
wait, you said as a team though, right?
But each person did it. It was ridiculous. It was dumb. It was the craziest thing I'd ever done. And, you know, I'm a former military guy, and this was absolutely nuts. And, you know, I am proud to say that we did beat the Fort Knox guys though.
I would have been out there all day.
Like, yeah, it was horrible.
All day.
It was horrible.
Wow. How about advice for your younger self? Take it back 10 years. What would you tell that guy?
Slow down. It's okay to slow your workout down and focus on your warm up, and you don't have to lift as high volume and as high intensity as everyone around you. It's not a competition. The only competition is with yourself. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing.
Ah, I love that. Love that. Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you. This was a great chat. It's been a while. You need to come to Louisville sometime.
Actually, real talk. I have a couple people on my Zaya team on out in Louisville. So we've got a presence out there. Maybe I will.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll make you put us through a workout.
That'd be fun. There's lots of parks to do that.
Cool. Thanks a ton, Rob.
All right. Thanks, Susie.
Bye. So many great nuggets in that episode. Rob, I loved it when you talked about warming up for 20 to 25 minutes and also leaving some gas in the tank at the end of every single workout. Did y'all hear what he said about core stability and hip mobility and making sure you know where your baseline is in terms of movement pattern deficiencies? That's for injury proofing. There's so much that goes into being a fit grandma, a master's athlete, and I'm so glad that Rob has started his podcast, Master's Athlete, to share this knowledge. He is the gold standard, and you can click on details and see the link to his podcast in the show notes. Thank you so much, Rob, for coming on Run Lift Mom. Until I get into your earpiece again, remember, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. That's from 1 Timothy 4:8, and this has been the Run Lift Mom podcast. It's time for the Zaya Active item of the week, and this week it is the Men's Charcoal Copper Charged Long Sleeve Tee. That's right, the Copper Charged collection has made its way to menswear. Let me tell you why this is important. Ladies, you do the laundry, and you know your man is not buying new activewear, so he's probably been wearing the same stuff for 10 years now, and spoiler alert, activewear is not designed to last forever and ever, amen. Here's what happens when you put just a little bit of metal into a fabric blend. Like for us, it's 4% copper. There's another company out there that does this with silver. It makes the material antimicrobial, and it makes it so it doesn't stink after multiple washes. Awesome, huh? This is one that is fitted, so you're gonna wanna size up for a looser fit. It's got that really nice, lightweight feeling, no chafe, flat seams, four-way stretch. It's awesome, just in time for Father's Day. You wanna get it, $49 price point. Just click details and you'll see the link in the show notes. That's the Men's Charcoal Copper Charge Long Sleeve. I I am beyond excited to announce that Red H Nutrition is an official partner of the Run Lift Mom podcast. I've been a Red H sponsored athlete since November of 2018, which means that I've trained for multiple marathons, a 100K trail race, while using these products to supplement my training as well as on race day. And I think that you can take it to the bank. They work. Some of my favorites are Super Greens, Super Flexi, and ZenRem, but you can click on details in the show notes to shop Red H Nutrition and check it out for yourself. Use code RUNLIFTMOM, that's RUNLIFTMOM, just like the name of this show, to save 10%. Again, just click on details in your show notes, shop Red H Nutrition, and then use code RUNLIFTMOM at checkout for 10% off. Thank you for your support of the Run Lift Mom podcast. This is a passion project for me that began in February of 2019 and now has over 10,000 listens. It's amazing. This is where I uplift other women and create communities around the areas of running, lifting, and motherhood. If you haven't yet done so already, please rate, review, and subscribe. That helps folks find the podcast and it keeps this passion project going.